You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 3rd of September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Nelson Nayar, the discovery results and Fortress as well. Nika Muller from CEO of Implat on their good numbers. And then Chantal Marks from F&B, the investment case for MultiChoice. But what about that 65.5 billion rand Nigerian tax claim? That's more than their market cap. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines for MoneyWeb: Santam making headway in settling business interruption claims. About 1.7 billion rand paid out, but of course all eyes on that MyAfrica appeal. Business Day, Discovery, First and JSE to introduce mandatory jabs for all staff. Moral imperative, says Adrian Gore, and this after the company lost 14,000 clients to COVID-19. Morning markets, US was mixed, the S&P up a third, while NASDAQ was down 0.05%. Asia's green, we got Sydney up 0.7%, Turkey up 0.9%. Commodities, green to flat overnight, gold unchanged at 18.15 an ounce, Rand 14.43 makes it a cent weaker. Top 40 opening call, looking for a green open, about 150 points up. That's a quarter of a percent. That as Tencent trades off 1.3% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Nelson Nayar, portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities. Nelson, appreciate the early morning discovery results yesterday. The market did not like, and the stock was down almost 10% at a point, closed the day off 7.8%. Some folks saying it's the no dividend, others saying the potential capital raise. Your take on what is always a complex set of numbers?
Yeah, Simon, I think it's one thing we all agree on, is that it's always a complex set of numbers. And I think that's one of the challenges a lot of people are having. You know, if I look at the theme that's been coming across in the last set of results across a lot of the financial shares, but most of the industrial shares as well, there's been a steady improvement in things. And you know, certainly if you look at Liberty results, massive improvement as well. And Discovery and Liberty are very comparable because they target, you know, a similar sort of client base. But the bank, Discovery Bank, losing that 1 billion rand, you know, of course they're getting traction in terms of the number of clients they're getting. But, you know, people are probably expecting a much better sort of operating performance from the business. And the fact that, you know, they allude to an uncertain environment out there, whereas a lot of the banks actually said things are beginning to improve, I think went against the grain of investors' thinking. And perhaps, you know, the sense one got was that Discovery is going to take a little bit longer to recover, and therefore, you know, the share price performed against the overall sector performance, which is the only thing I can imagine, you know, took place. I think it was a little bit of a shock result for a lot of them.
Yeah, I take your point on that. It is a sort of a slower recovery where we've seen sort of faster recoveries coming out of certainly most of the other financial stocks. The other set of numbers yesterday was Fortress, more than doubling their dividend for their A shares, net asset values showing good growth. I thought not a bad set of numbers from Fortress. I mean, I think we can make an argument that they're out of the woods and looking a lot better than maybe we would have thought a year ago.
Yeah, I think if you look at what's happened to that share price, you know, from the sort of highs, where was it, around 40 rand or so, that way it finds itself now, inevitably, any improvement, I think, is going to pique investors' interest. And I think that's what we're beginning to see now. But across the board, Simon, I've been looking at the banks in particular. I think First Gen was up every single day this week, you know. If you look at the sort of performance of the financial shares, and you can include those property companies in there because, you know, they tend to behave like financial shares in an economic recovery, like what the market is potentially seeing right now. I mean, we'll have to see the actual economic recovery as such take place. But the sense one gets is that investors seem to be moving away from the likes of Naspers and the resource stocks in the last few weeks, and trying to focus on some of these heavily sold off financial and property companies, and those are the ones that seem to be delivering performance right now, and the results kind of tend to speak to that recovery theme as well.
Yeah, I take your point on that. I mean, absolutely. And I'm looking at the Fini 15, which is, it's got some insurers, got some banks, also got a bit of property in it. And it's actually been running quite well. Back in, 2 months ago or so, it was 12,000 some change. Now 14,000 and some change, looking a whole lot stronger in that space. Ness and I, portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities, appreciate that early morning time. Our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter, the market, as you say, not liking that discovery result, selling it down 7.8%. No dividend, perhaps a little bit slow on the recovery, as Ness and said. They need 1.5 billion rand potentially to fund their Chinese Ping An stake. Is it a stock for you to invest into? Perhaps you don't like the complexity. Perhaps NHI is what's worrying you. Or maybe it is a stock you love and you are investing. Have your say, have your vote on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles at MoneyWeb.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Implats CEO Nicky Muller, year end results to end of June, the $60 basket was up 59%. We saw a 125% increase in headline earnings, free cash flow up 166%, and final dividend 12 Rand a share. That brings the full year dividend to 22 Rand. Nicky, appreciate the time. The past year, it's in some sense a perfect storm. You've had improved pricing, you've had improved operations. All that under the pandemic, which cost you, 560-odd million. I imagine managing that pandemic is now just a way of life for you and your minds.
No, absolutely. I'm so delighted about the leadership that the company has been able to display. We were the first mining sites to be accredited to administer vaccines, both here and in Zimbabwe. We've got a tremendous medical team that has offered a lot of support to local communities and private hospitals. And so I believe that we are well positioned to continue combating the vaccine going forward, and we are fully prepared.
Your dividend of 22 Rand for the year, which I mentioned up front, I mean, that actually only tells a part of the story. Is you've been buying back convertible bonds, which is, in essence, also returning back to shareholders.
Absolutely. So, you can see that is a preemptive repurchase of shares at the discount. And that added another 8.8 billion Rand. Value to shareholders in the form of preventing a dilutive event that would have taken place if we had not repurchased the convertible bonds.
The production, you're adding about another 9% of production. That's via expansion of some low-cost ounces. What sort of timelines for this to come to market?
So we've got two projects. The one is at Two Rivers in Mpumalanga. We're expecting our first production in 2024 and full capacity in 25. And so at full capacity, that's 180,000 ounces, new ounces. And then in Zimbabwe, which is our second expansion project, we are expecting full capacity from 2027. So we are providing for 80,000 additional ounces at this point. And we are evaluating two other opportunities to complement the 80,000, because the infrastructure will be able to accommodate up to 180,000 ounces as well by 2027.
Okay, so those timelines are stretching up, because you make, and I quote from the sort of highlights, continue a tightening in markets for palladium, rhodium to support higher pricing in the medium term. We've seen prices come down. Rhodium was almost $30,000. It's now about $17,000. Palladium was around $3,000, now around $2,400. But you're saying that there's still that supply-demand imbalances is, over the next couple of years, still going to favor the producers?
Yeah, so we have got a very bullish outlook for the next 7 years at least. I mean, if you look at what's driven the recent decline in palladium and rhodium, I mean, you've got two issues. One is you've seen a short-term decline in auto demand given the chip shortage, mm-hmm. and so that has resulted in a decline. And at the same time, you've seen excess inventory being released from the industry. I mean, as you are aware, we've had some issues on the supply side during the course of the year. And so these things are working in tandem together. But of course, the auto demand that you see dropping at the moment, we believe will be shifted to 2022-23. And at the same time, you will see a depletion of the excess inventory. So we believe that there's a very strong floor for rhodium at current prices as well for palladium. So I believe we've got at least 7 years of strong PGM fundamentals in the market.
How significant is PGM jewelry? Certainly, we've seen the luxury jewelry manufacturers, Europe, Richemont, and listed in South Africa. They've been shooting the lights out. Is PGM? I mean, does much of it go into the jewelry industry?
So, if you look at rhodium, I mean, over 90% of its demand comes from auto, and mm-hmm. for palladium, it's like 84%. The jewelry industry is very important for platinum. And so platinum is the one metal that has got a more diversified demand. And it is constituted by the auto demand as well as jewelry. And further to that, there is investment demand, in the form of coins, mm-hmm. bars, and so forth. So jewelry is important. And that is an area in which we actively participate in. We are a member of the WPIC, which is a body that has been created by the industry to market metals, particularly in India and China and Japan.
We'll leave it there. That's Implat CEO Nico Muller talking year-end results to June. Nico, appreciate the time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, our head of research, F&B Wealth and Investment. Chatting multi-choice. Chantal, morning, appreciate the early morning time. I want to get into the investment case for multi-choice. Before I do, there's the Nigerian issue, the sort of in the corner. Nigeria is kind of prone to occasionally hit one of our JC listed companies with giant numbers. This time a 65.5 billion rand tax bill, if my conversion rates are right. Is this, I mean, if one was a multi-choice investor, is this something to really worry about? Certainly MTN negotiated some of their fines down a bit, some of them down quite markedly.
Yes, so I think the tax authority is actually a little bit easier to deal with because the laws governing the tax regime in Nigeria are quite set in stone. They're quite advanced. So when you are in front of a court, the law will likely take its course. What happened with MTN and that huge fine that really blew up their balance sheet as well a few years ago was the SIM registration debacle, the fact that they weren't registering SIMs quickly enough, and government actually accused them of, by not registering SIMs quickly enough, aiding the situation in the north of Nigeria, yeah. where they were really battling with terrorist groups. So a completely different scenario for MTN with that big fine. I think the multi-choice fine was also taken out of context a little bit because, as multi-choice indicated in their SENS announcement, it was going to be the lower of that disputed amount the year previous plus 10% tax bill that they had to pay before appealing that amount. So it was I think it was a bit sensationalized as well.
Okay, so let's park Nigeria. And I take your point that the tax law is more codified. The semi-registration was a whole lot less so, and a lot more emotional around, as you say, the terrorism in the north. The investment case forward. I mean, a lot of folks look at it and think, oh no, it's DSTV, we're being overcharged, and people are shopping down from premium packages. But there's a lot more to it. There's the rest of the continent, which is growing fast. There's Showmax, which is looking to be the sort of Netflix of Africa. It's actually not a bad investment case here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, people all hate DSTV, but they all have it because people love sport.
Yeah.
So I think sport is an underpin for DSTV subscriptions. So even though people are complaining about it around the braai, they won't miss the rugby or the soccer to save their lives, right? So they'll definitely, I think that that's an underpin. Their investment in local content is par none. And if you look at the kind of local content that we've been getting recently, the quality is fantastic. If you watch Devil's Door, Boreka. If you haven't watched it, please do. It's fantastic. And then you have this rest of Africa business, which provides massive optionality and is basically valued at a negative value by the market. One must remember that in the rest of Africa, you have underdeveloped broadband infrastructure, which means that the traditional multi-choice business does quite well there. And you also have a situation where electrification is still taking place. And as electricity gets rolled out and continues to get rolled out across the continent, the first thing that people are going to invest in is their televisions and their entertainment. And I think that that's exactly where DSTV has quite a comfortable first mover advantage at the moment.
I see what you're saying there. I remember 15 years ago or so speaking to Wayne Sampson at Ellie's, that they used to do DSTV installations and they couldn't keep up with demand as we were electrifying our more rural areas. I remember doing a road trip and the satellite dish was almost our national flower. You could drive anywhere in our country on the dirt, you know, the bumpiest of roads, and there were satellite dishes.
Yeah, and I think that that's another important thing to remember about multi-choice is that they offer a variety of packages and price points. So even though you and I will think about a premium subscription and so expensive and you've got the Explorer and you don't even know if you're using it properly, the reality is that a lot of people are paying 25 to 30 rand a month for five or six channels with really clear quality. And that's good enough. That is good enough for them, given the price point. So you have to consider that there's more than just the Explorer package that they have on offer. And I think the tie up on the Explorer package and on these kind of premium packages with the international streaming guys is brilliant. I think the involvement of or the tie up between Showmax and HBO is a really positive one. And I think the fact that Netflix and Amazon are willing to work with MultiChoice is a really positive thing. They're not necessarily looking to unseat the company. Sure, I mean, I think MultiChoice has its risks. Nigeria, wow.
Sure.
Currencies, whoa, and content costs continue to increase. But I do think that at the moment, and especially at the current discount that it's trading relative to its peers and its history, the positive outweighs the negative.
Yeah, I take that. There has to be some risk. If there isn't risk, there's no reward. And as you say, you're pretty much getting the rest of the continent for free for Mahala. Chantel Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investment, appreciate your insights this morning. That's it for today. A poll we were asking you yesterday on our Twitter and our LinkedIn. We were talking about cash build there with Derek Jensen van Rensburg from Anchor. Really strong results. We asked you, are you buying it? Do you own it? Do you like it? Two-thirds of you said you need to have a good, hard, strong look at it. You have that look. A sixth of you, which is quite small, said you already hold it. And a quarter weren't interested. A bunch of you said, nah, not so keen, not so excited. You think there's too much risk. But certainly, those results which came out were absolutely in knockout. You can have your vote, you can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter accounts at MoneyWeb. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 on the website, the app, and of course, wherever great podcasts are aggregated. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie Cordora, Nicole Masechla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.